Roll call, Director Green, Director Wiegand,
Here.
Director Yeo,
Here.
Director Tran,
Husband, husband.
Director Nguyen, Director Amezcua,
Present.
Director Jung, Director Meeks, Director Sheldon, Director Bilodeau.
Present in Santa Ana.
Thank you. You do have a quorum of your committee.
Okay, do we have any items too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Okay. Visitors' participation. Anybody want to speak? We'll listen. Nothing to say? All right. Okay, anybody online? I don't see any hands raised. Okay, moving on to the consent calendar. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a
Hi.
we have a motion and a second.
Roll call, Director Green,
Yes.
Director Wiegand,
Yes.
Director Yeo,
Yes.
Director Tran,
Yes.
Director Amezcua.
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Okay, moving on to the item 12, evaluation of land subsidence history and potential in the Orange County groundwater basin.
Yeah, Madam Chair, this is Roy Herndon will present this.
Well, good noon. Like morning or afternoon. So we're here to present a recommendation to move ahead with a kind of an initial paper study for to evaluate potential future land subsidence and also historical land subsidence. Historical is kind of a way of giving us a sense of what the future may be in front of us, and so it's important to look at both. And so I'll walk you through that topic. Can advance. There we go. So why are we even thinking of looking at land subsidence? Well, the resilience plan that was recently approved by the board has as one of its priority projects the evaluation of expanding the operating range of the basin, the storage range of the basin. And by expanding the operating range of the basin has some potential benefits. Drought resilience would be one. Reducing underflow to LA County, potential other benefits, maybe storage programs with Met or other agencies. So a lot of possibilities if we can safely operate the basin over a greater accumulated overdraft than what we have, say, over the last 50, 60 years. Our current operating range is between zero full and 500,000 acre feet from full. And that's shown in the green green line there in the chart to the right. Conceptually, the idea would be if we operated at a lower over basin level or a higher overdraft, you might have something like the blue line, where just everything is lower and we just operate at a lower level. That would obviously reduce underflow to LA County. It might also, though, bring with it some risks. Such as increasing the potential for seawater intrusion. The barriers might not be able to, by themselves, handle the lower groundwater conditions and would have to be expanded or beefed up to handle that. It might require higher pumping levels, and maybe even some wells couldn't pump that much water because the drawdown would be too much. So these are things that we would have to look at under this expanded operating range. And one of the things also that we would want to look at is land subsidence potential. So that's what we're here to talk about today. So I have some schematics here that might help, hopefully try to explain why, how does land subsidence occur? What can drive that in groundwater basins such as ours? And so at the right, there's a kind of a schematic, a geologic cross-section cut through the basin. And the blue areas, the blue shaded areas would be your sandy, granular gravels, sands and gravels. Those would be your permeable aquifer materials and soils. And the sand grains and the gravel grains are hard. They're typically like silica quartz, and are generally touching each other, and they're semi-roundish, and they're pretty rigid. They kind of touch each other, and they don't tend to compact. When groundwater levels rise and fall, the sand grains and the gravel tend to hold pretty firmly to each other and don't change in terms of thickness or elasticity. Whereas the lighter tan colored layers shown in that slide would represent what we call aquitards, or the clay and the silt layers. Clays and silts tend to be not really round, but more platy and tabular, more like sheets, if you will. And when they're first deposited through floods and deposition from surface water runoff carrying these sediments, and over millions of years, when they're deposited, they're often very the way they were settled. The Think of a deck of cards where the cards aren't necessarily all in a deck. They're just kind of in different shapes and orientations, and that would be the top box there in the middle, where it says clay particles. That would be the typical orientation of an uncompacted clay. And you can see the particles are kind of oriented in all different directions. So there's a lot of open space between those particles filled with water. And then as a groundwater basin is drawn down and pumping occurs and not as much recharge to replace the pumping, and you begin to drop storage, well, you're dropping water levels too. And as those groundwater levels drop, in the pore spaces with these clay layers, you're reducing pressure because it's not as much pressure of water on top of those clays or within those clays because you're lowering the pressure by pumping out all this groundwater. Well, eventually, the overlying earth, the overburden, is starting to push down on those clays, and they begin to orient themselves as a deck of cards. And you can see those other two boxes where the pore pressure is reduced, and the weight of the earth on top of those clays begins to push those clays together more like a deck of cards. Cumulatively, that's where you get subsidence. So that eventually those clays compact enough to where it propagates all the way to the ground surface, and you might have an inch of subsidence, or you can have 10 feet of subsidence. It just all depends on the magnitude and the duration of allowing a particular groundwater basin to be lowered. It obviously definitely depends on how thick those clays are. If they're only 5 feet thick versus 50 feet thick, there's not as much to compact. So the geology is very key. And this is sort of an extreme example, but it's just one that folks have heard of in the Central Valley, where there's been tremendous, we're talking millions of acre feet, not thousands or hundreds of thousands, we're talking millions of acre feet of overdraft in parts of the Central Valley. And over decades, they've seen in some places over 30 feet of subsidence. That's a classic picture on the right there, in the Southern Central Valley, where between 1925 and 1977, ground surface dropped about 30 feet. Now it's continued since then because they've continued to overdraft their basin. They have not gotten their groundwater basin in balance. And so the forces are still there that are still compacting some of the clay layers. So that's the extreme example. And we have a broken aqueduct that folks have probably read about where it's not draining properly. So they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to rebuild the aqueduct, even as the ground surface continues to subside. So that's one of the main reasons that the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act was passed, was to deal with situations like in the Central Valley, where there's more pumping than there is recharge. So We're not saying that's going to be the situation in our basin. We've seen no indications of permanent subsidence in our basin. What we have seen is something they call elastic subsidence, where there's rebound. We see the groundwater, the land surface. There's data to show that our ground surface actually changes by like an inch or two over years, but it's going up and down as the groundwater overdraft changes over time. So it's a recoverable, literally elastic situation. So that's not a problem. And this map here on the right shows this is Orange County groundwater basin here to the lower end, and then continuing into LA County because the aquifer continues right across the county line. And the areas in orange and red are areas where they've measured at least between 92 and 2011, almost 20-year period, about 30 to 40 millimeters. So that's 3 to 4 centimeters or an inch and a half to 2 inches or so of rebound, of displacement. In other words, up and down. It's not permanent down, but it's up and down movement of the ground surface. So that's elastic subsidence. So it's kind of interesting to see that the earth and where we are literally breathes, and it's due to pumping and recharge together. So the question is, could we have permanent subsidence if we lowered the storage over an extended period of time and kept it there for a while? And would that potentially cause that reduction in pore pressure in the clays, in the aquitards, and eventually lead to subsidence? That's kind of the question. And what's interesting is if we go back to the 1950s, sometimes we show this chart, sometimes we cut it off and started in 1969 when the basin was full. You can see that high point there in 1969. So sometimes we show this overdraft chart over time, starting in 1969. But John likes to show it back to 1956. So, and it's really handy that we can, because this is important, is it's these are estimates. Our methodology today is much more accurate than it was back in the 50s, but the estimate was the basin overdraft might have been as much as 700,000 acre feet back in the 1950s when the basin was heavily overdrawn. And if that's the case, then it's possible that the basin already has undergone some degree of subsidence already. And that's, in a way, that's a good thing, because that means all the things that we're doing nowadays, the pumping and the recharge and so on, are within a range that the earth beneath us has already felt a higher stress and has already equilibrated to that, and that we're not seeing any additional subsidence. So the question is, what if we did start to operate the basin down below 500,000 or 600,000 acre feet in the future? Would we induce some degree of subsidence? And if we did, how much? Are we talking millimeters? Are we talking inches? That's the question. So this would be what we're proposing as a very initial study to do a data review. We have a couple of very key researchers that are well known and very experienced, come highly recommended, and they said they would be happy to do this study. They prepared a short proposal, and the key objectives would be to identify areas and magnitude in the basin where there are indications where we have had historical subsidence. So look at historical land survey data, see if we can compile some of that and see what that tells us as far as what ground surface has done over decades in our basin. Also, to identify areas that may be more susceptible than others to subsidence. Probably it's going to be areas where we have thicker clay deposits versus, say, and that would be more likely down here along closer to the coast versus the Forbay area up in Anaheim and Fullerton, where the clays and the silts are thinner, and it's more granular sands and gravels that are don't have a tendency to subside or compact, I should say. And then lastly, to identify any data gaps that would be needed were we to do some more detailed evaluation, such as predictive modeling. There are models that can be run that you could tell it, hey, we want to run this basin at a different overdraft. What does the model predict in terms of potential future subsidence? And the key is, do you have sufficient data to calibrate models like that so you might be able to believe the results, or at least give them some weight? Otherwise, you have a model that's providing results and you don't know whether to believe it, and that's not a very useful model. So the data gaps are important. So with that, our recommendation is to authorize the services agreement to GSI Environmental to bring in those two experts and have them do this initial evaluation for cost not to exceed $34,333. Happy to answer any questions.
Yes, please.
See the value and the importance of it because studying what may or may not occur, but just looking at a future observation, should we create subsidence, it would be a tremendous liability, I think, on the district if we were to create an urban setting where there's subsidence. Is there examples of that other places in the world where an urban setting, such as in Orange County or similar area, has seen that? I mean, what would it do for like building structures or homes or all of the potential liability that this should
Yeah,
confirm?
there are some definite. There's been major subsidence in cities in different parts of the world, including Jakarta in Indonesia, Bangkok in Thailand, other major cities that have done overdraft, essentially overpumping and not enough recharge, where they have had subsidence. And we could certainly, find more information as to specifically what structural impacts were caused. But you think about surface water drainage, where you have flat areas where you're relying on some gravity to move surface water, storm flows and whatnot out. And if you flatten that slope and or even create a bowl because you've now reduced your ground surface, now you're dealing with ponding and things like that. So it can be very substantial depending on the magnitude of the subsidence.
Yeah, I see the value. I think we're at tremendous risk if we're the ones causing this subsidence. So don't come to us and we'll be in a bad position if that ever occurs. So
I would like to add at the Water Replenishment District in Los Angeles, right on the other side of the border. They will overdraft their basin to minus 800,000 acre feet. And that's their operating range is a lot lower than ours. And we're holding ourselves to minus 500. So that's an example right across the border of a basin that goes a lot lower. And you would think we would be kind of similar with our basins. And but anyway, it's we definitely need to study this closely. And this would be the beginning of a potentially a lot of work for Roy's group. We would do this incrementally, see what we find, and then do an addendum to the contract with these experts and kind of incrementally go based on what we're finding. And then also, as Roy mentioned, we have to model the seawater barriers. As you overdraft the basin more, how are the barriers performing? So that would be a lot of modeling work for Roy's group. And then you also have lower water levels, and the producers have wells. And are you going to impact the producer wells with lower water levels? So there's three big phases, and we're just beginning with one phase right here. But at the end, if we're successful, the value of this additional storage is just tremendous for our reliability or potentially even selling it to people. So there's a giant value of being able to overdraft our basin to minus 700,000. So it's worth doing this work. And I'm seeing how far we get.
Yeah, I think that's the best value there.
Yeah.
Stretch those limits without causing any damage. I think that's
Yeah.
where
Yeah.
I'm supportive.
Are there any questions online from board members? Okay. Well.
Thank you very much, Paul Schoenberger with Mesa Water District, and here to fully support this item. I think it's a great thing to take a look at. And I know your staff does great work, and that we're looking at this is fantastic. And Roy's group, the hydrogeologists, they do very, very good work. So I'm totally supported. If you could go back maybe one or two slides to sort of the groundwater, that chart right there, So, you know, right now, Orange County Water District, you know, considers minus 500,000 the operating range. And, you know, as I've said, that's like a real round number, 500,000. And so that number wasn't like scientifically calculated. It was just, you know, based on past history and, you know, what works for us. You know, so it's a number that your board set. And so your board could, you know, set it at 550 or 575 or 600 or 700. But we're, you know, we're doing the due diligence to make sure that if, you know, you do that, that would be a good thing. But if you did, like Mr. Kennedy was saying, that would be a tremendous increase in our resource. Right now, we kind of take the first 100 or so thousand acre feet off. So if we have 400,000 acre feet that we can work with now, and we, you know, increase that by 50% to an additional 600,000 or a total of 600,000, that's huge. And I could see, you know, three ways that you might benefit from that. One is just for us to say, hey, we've got all this extra water, so we're that much more reliable. And, you know, during a drought, we'll be able to withstand, you know, bigger and longer droughts. And so, you know, we're feeling really good about being reliable. So that's one thing we could do. Another thing would be just to, as was discussed, just lower the operating target 200,000 so that, you know, we're constantly 200,000 lower. And so there'd be less outflow to LA. And every 1,000 acre foot that is outflow is about $1 million we're losing on the margin. So that would be good, but that does have the consequences that you talked about. Are we having additional seawater intrusion? Do the producers all have to drill deeper or drill new wells? And then also, we definitely would be spending more money pulling the water up further. So there's kind of a plus and minus. And then another option would be to say, hey, we've found another 100,000 or 200,000 of storage and water down there, and you know, talk with Metropolitan Water District or you know, someone else as far as a storage deal for you know, $100,000 acre feet is about $100 million worth of water. So you lower the level from 500,000 to 700,000, you just found $200 million worth of water. So, you know, this is all heading in a good direction, you know. So I think that's all fantastic. And those are the reasons we should look at that. The subsidence, I'm really not concerned at all about the subsidence. You know, we showed the telephone pole in the Central Valley that, you know, is 30 feet lower. The soils in the Central Valley are very different than the soils that we have here. They have a lot more friable soil, which means compressible. So like you know loamy and peat moss type soil. So you can take peat moss this much and then you can squeeze it and make a smaller home. But you can't really take clay. If you take a lump of clay and you squeeze it, it's just gonna, you know, come out on the side. So the squeezability, I don't know if that I don't know exactly, but the squeezability of is much closer to that rigid sand and gravel than it is to something in the Central Valley. And then as Roy showed earlier, you know, to kind of put this in context, we do go from basin full to minus 400 up and down. And the amount of kind of recovery subsidence they see is about an inch and a half. So, and we believe we've been down to minus 700,000. So, you know, if we do go down another 100 or 200,000, you know, are we talking another inch and a half? That's no, that's not going to be really noticeable. Maybe measurable, but I don't know that it'll be noticeable. And as Mr. Kennedy mentioned, our neighbors who have very similar soils to us have been down to 800,000. I don't believe they've ever been sued. And so, you know, we got to do our due diligence. We got to look at the subsidence thing. But, you know, it's open if your board wants to lower the limit. And, you know, if you do get your 3 inches of subsidence just going a certain amount, then maybe you'll rethink it. But I don't think that's going to happen. But please don't take my word in the bank. You guys are hiring the expert. We'll find out. I just see opportunities, and so that's why we support this very much.
Thank you. Director Yeo?
Yes, thank you, Director Green. And Roy, thank you for the presentation and for bringing this item to the committee. You mentioned Sigma earlier, and you know my understanding is that for decades, we have been sustainably operating the basin, and we were often recognized as a model for sustainable groundwater management. I think when Senator Pavley authored the two bills for Sigma, we were often tapped for knowledge. And my question for you is that would the result be used to prove our compliance under Sigma? I know we are probably already way ahead of the curve. So in addition to using this new information to help us better manage the groundwater basin and provide some flexibility in managing the basin, would the information be useful in proving our compliance with Sigma?
Yes, Director Yeo, very, very good points. We have to prepare annual reports to Department of Water Resources to show how we've been continuing to comply with Sigma. And one of the main things that we point to is how we are managing the basin within an established operating range. And that keeps our groundwater levels within a certain operating range, and it keeps seawater intrusion from moving inland for the most part, and it keeps overdraft from chronic overdraft is something that you would be out of compliance if you allowed it, or chronic groundwater level lowering. So yes, and subsidence is another one of the factors that Sigma looks at, and so. By keeping the basin within a certain operating range that's been safe, we've been addressing a number of the factors that the DWR looks at in terms of compliance with Sigma. So this is a very key part of how we manage our basin and how we stay in compliance with Sigma. So if we were to change our operating rate, or range, I should say, we would definitely need to show that we know what we're doing. We'd have to have a good, strong technical basis for doing it. And DWR would want to hear how we're planning on addressing that and monitoring it over time if we were to change our operating rate. It's not that we can't do it, but we would need to demonstrate to them that we're doing it very thoughtfully.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Any other questions or comments? Can you see any?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay. I'll second.
Roll call, Director Green?
Yes.
Director Wiegand?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Tran? Director Tran? Director Amezcua?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Zoom, sorry. Yes.
Thank you. That motion carries 5-0.
Okay. Moving on to item 13, the proposed fiscal year 25-26 water purchase budget.
Chris Olson will present this.
Thanks, John, and good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Looking at the upcoming proposed water budget. This is the budget schedule you guys are all very familiar with as the process has started back in December. This morning and last week at the board meeting, Randy Fick gave an update on the draft budget to our producers and to the board last week. And then we're here today talking about the water budget. Tomorrow we will go through the R&R at Admin Finance, and then there'll be subsequent meetings in April to go over CIP and setting the RA and BPP. As we look at our total pie of our budget components here, we're $292 million total. The water purchase is sitting down here at $11.1 million. So what makes up that 11.1 that we're proposing for the next fiscal year? Well, we have the Alamitos Barrier. That's the water that we purchased through City of Long Beach. That's 3,000 acre feet. That's a fully loaded cost at $16.15 per acre foot. And then, as has been mentioned, we are also planning on budgeting for Metropolitan Untreated Full Service for 5,000 acre feet. And that comes at a price of $9.48. So we're budgeting for it. Not likely we're actually going to buy it, but we're budgeting for it with the plan of it's there, we'll put it in the water reserves fund, we'll use it when we need to. And then there's some other components with the water budget. There's the readiness to serve, the groundwater charge and capacity charge. Those are always in here. So that total is 11.1 million for the upcoming proposed budget. Another shot of the overdraft here. As you guys all know, there our recommended target overdraft is the 150 to 200,000 range. As was measured on June 30th of 2024, we were sitting at 133,000. That was from, we had back-to-back very wet years, and basin's been in great shape. We've been talking about that a lot. Just the groundwater basin as a whole is doing very well. The number you see is the projection for 113,000. I think I mentioned this back in January. We're not likely going to see that. This is based on a projection for average hydrology, and as we know, it's been pretty dry. Even though it's raining today, we're still not near where we should be for average rainfall at this point in time. And more than likely, we'll probably be in the 160,000 acre foot range. But when you look at that in comparison to our target, we're still in great shape. So it's not only that it has been a little bit of a dry year. If you recall, we also had a little less production from GWS, OC Sand Plant 2. Was down all the way through October. We have the barrier is pretty full, just given groundwater basin conditions, similar with MBI. So a couple of reasons why there's a little bit less production, couple that with a little bit of a dry year, and we're probably going to be closer to the 160,000 acre foot range. So when we budget, and as same will be the case for this upcoming fiscal year, we always budget for average hydrology. And average hydrology means base flows of 74,000, storm flows 72, incidental 40. And the number that we throw in there for GWS is 128,000. Fully expect that next fiscal year we'll be hitting that number. Expected pumping at 85% in the range of 297,000. So again, that's 317,000 acre feet of water into the basin, assuming average hydrology. So just to really hit it home, what average hydrology means is if it's 113,000, the basin's doing incredible, right? But the reality is if it's 160,000, the takeaway here is that the basin's still doing great. If we have average, we're going to still be in that 140, 150,000 acre foot range. We're just in really good shape to be able to handle a couple of years of not heavy rains just because of a little bit less water demands, GWS, rainfall as it comes in. So overall, it's doing great. And we want to point out that if you were to look at what it takes to refill the basin based on water demands, the water supply sources on that average hydrology, we have a historical low need of imported water. So we're showing that when you add it all up and you equal it out, you're looking at 36,000 acre feet of imported water is needed to make up those water supply sources to balance out total demand. So it's incredible. The basin is doing great. And with that, the recommendation is just to receive comments. And like I said, we discuss this with the producers.
Any comments? Any questions? Do we have anybody online? Please, Paul.
All right, Paul Schoenberger again. Yeah, thank you very much. We did have a good discussion at the producers meeting. On this item and all the previous budget items, and everything's been explained very clearly, and I heard no objections at all to the proposed water budget or the RA or the BPP. To me, it feels like, we've got producer support for the direction that you guys are going financially here in the next budget. You are proposing to stay at 85% pumping. We know that, the higher the BPP goes, the more we can pump and the less costly water supply is in Orange County. And even if you have to spend more money to buy untreated water, which now is at $935 an acre foot, if you could spend more money on more imported or more untreated imported water at $935, even though the RA would have to go up a little bit, what we're not doing is importing water at $1,418. So it's kind of counterintuitive. If in the future you want to raise the basin pumping percentage, and if that requires untreated water purchase and an increase in the RA, you're actually saving us money because we're saving $500 an acre foot because we're not buying the imported water as a whole, most agencies. So that's just the pitch for next year. I think you certainly have Mesa Water support, and nobody's objecting to the direction you guys are going.
But with the cleanup costs for PFAS and everything, that cost, that RA cost, is really going up. Is that more than...
Yeah, the PFAS is, very, very expensive. But saving us money, that's going to be there regardless. And raising the BPP, could help, regardless. PFAS, yes, it's going to dry. Mesa Water, we support all the money and effort. Soon we're going to be spending, have spent $1.5 billion on PFAS. We're one of the few agencies. There's a couple of agencies that don't have PFAS. So our contribution is to pay the increased RA, pay our portion of that. But we're happy to do it because it's the right thing for the basin. Everybody in some corner of the basin is benefiting from some program that you have. We benefit from the seawater barrier more than maybe, your Belinda would. So you guys are managing the basin well, and we support it verbally here and also by paying the increased RA.
All right, good enough. Any other questions or comments? Okay. We'll move on to, can we put all the items on the consent calendar?
Sounds good.
And any director's announcements?
I'll just mention that General Manager Kennedy and I, on separate times, but we went up on the eco flight that Lisa Haney was able to organize for.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, a neat experience to see the Santa Ana watershed from. We took off at Corona and then went all the way up to Seven Oaks Dam and then worked our way back to the coast. And then John was on the, what were you on, the 8 o'clock flight?
First flight, yeah.
Yeah. And then I was on the 10 o'clock flight. So she took up three different tours with, I think, four people in each to get a little experience of the watershed. So it's neat for a rookie like me to get a chance to kind of see it from that level was nice.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I'll make a comment.
Please.
I'm so glad you guys did that because I don't want to go. You can tell me all about it, okay?
Okay, noted. Anybody else have any comments? Okay, General Manager.
I actually have three comments. The first is President Bilodeau and I were at the LAFCO Commission meeting this morning, and the consolidation issue was on the agenda. And the LAFCO Commission approved receiving filing the consolidation study. It was pretty uneventful and pretty quick. And so that is completed and done. And I have no plans to agendize consolidation in the near future for any board or committee meeting. So that is complete. Second thing I wanted to mention is just to give a quick storm update. The rainfall we're getting is not a lot, These storms seem to be kind of more misty than heavy rain. And so the elevation behind Prado Dam right now is elevation 495, and that's only holding 6,500 acre feet of water. Now, we do have heavy rainfall predicted for tonight and rainfall tomorrow. I'm told there's about a 10% chance we could get up to elevation 505, which is about 20,000 acre feet. But it's been pretty disappointing, the amount of water that's actually come down the river from the upper watershed. A month and a half ago, we were on track to have the driest winter ever. So it's good to be getting some amount of water regardless. Third thing I wanted to mention is President Bilodeau and Alicia Harristy and myself, we were in Sacramento yesterday. We had 8 meetings. We met with assembly members Chin, Diane Dixon, Tree Taw, and then we met with Senators Tom Umberg and Stephen Choi. We met with the staffs of assembly member Valencia and Quirk Silva and even Kate Sanchez, but we talked a lot about PFAS and our needs for PFAS. And that proposed legislation, AB 794, and how we objected to that. So it was a long day, but a very good day just to meet with the people and talk about our issues and who we are, and then just solidifying kind of our relationships with these people. Yeah.
Director Yeo, did you have a comment?
I was going to, I had a question for John. What was the second item you mentioned? I'm sorry.
First was PFAS, getting funding for PFAS, and then it was Assembly Bill 794. That's the potential.
You mentioned that. Before you mentioned 3 items. What was the second one? I'm sorry.
The rain, a storm update.
Sorry. Thank you. Yeah. Now I noticed that you and staff, when you were reporting on these events, you were giving percentage. Is this the result of FIRO that they're able to provide you with some level, like 25%, 10%? I'm hearing numbers now. I don't recall you used to provide that. Like there's a 10% chance of reaching elevation 505. Is that something that FIRO would indicate, you know, from their model?
Yeah. I'm not sure, Director Yeo. I'll have to find out. They may How have
did you
been
know it was
providing...
10%?
Yeah. They could have been providing these percentages previously, but we just didn't report on it. I need to find out if FIRO has helped. Yeah, I'll get back to the board.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anything else? Anybody else? Okay, we are adjourned.